Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. How unscripted and unpredictable can you get in 2 hours? National Geographic's trio of television networks will provide an ambitious answer this Sunday night on Earth Live. Executive producer Al Berman joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, our latest classic trivia question of the week and up on how our last question turned out. And tell me something, can we get smart discussing smart TV sets and devices? I sure hope so. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, it's day before Independence Day 2017, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted you're aboard with us on this day before Independence Day for the program All About Television. Happy July to you and all. We hope that for many of you, you've had a great weekend, extended holiday weekend so far, and keep it coming today, and we're delighted you took time for us. We have an interesting show for you in the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, your participation. It starts with your voice, and then using this phone number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got our chat room up and running. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room either way. We will get you on board. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Al Berman of Earth Live will be live with us here in New York on the day before Independence Day. But first, these news notes. Bring the thing back. That's what Fox wants to do next winter, 2 years after the last notes of American Idol there. Variety reports this afternoon that an Israel-based format creator is developing a new singing competition with Fox, where 4 contestants get selected on the opening episode, and a challenger gets the opportunity each week to take over one of those 4 slots. To be clear, this is not a sure effort just yet. As for American Idol, ABC will revive that series next year, possibly with Ryan Seacrest back as the host, and that announcement may be coming before this week is out. Series Fest 2017 wrapped up this past weekend with a group of winning pilots in Denver. Up North, that's the name of a prison drama, was named Best Drama and Best voted by the festival attendees, while Giving Up was the Best Comedy winner. Crowdfunded entry, The Fob and I received Season Spark's first ever New Voices Rally Award. And we hope to have some of those winners on a future televised episode later this month. And we have a couple of quickies for you. Fox Sports programming chief Jamie Horowitz is departing his post after 2 years, and there may be a legal tussle forthcoming, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Ozark, the new Netflix series co-starring Laura Linney and Jason Bateman, begins July 21st. And E! News co-anchor Maria Menounos is leaving that post after 3 years, recovering from brain tumor surgery last month. We wish her and her family all the very best. And that is news notes for today. As mentioned at the top, Nat Geographic and its family of networks, that's Nat Geo, Nat Geo Mundo in Spanish, and Nat Geo Wild, are going to do something very special this coming Sunday night. They're going to take their viewers live all over the globe in a project that's been in development now for over a year, Earth Live. And joining me here in New York, where a new television studio is being built just for this very program, is one of its key executive producers, Al Berman. Al, thank you for taking the time with us.
You bet. Pleasure to be here.
Tell us about what you're doing in Manhattan right now, getting ready for next Sunday night.
We're on West 57th Street at the AMV Unitel facility right across from CBS Broadcast Center. And our production team has corralled here from Los Angeles, New York, Bristol, UK, and Washington, D.C. So we're all in the same room, same work area for the first time in over a year and a half. And then we have a really very classy set designed by John Yek that's going up here that's going to feature, among other things, a 25-foot LED wall that has more than 30 live feeds coming into it, along with a host position, what we're calling the Matrix, which is a very elaborate engineering setup that allows us to take all these feeds in from all over the globe. And it's really cool. Once the set starts going up, it really starts to feel real.
What is the aim of Earth Live? What do you want to showcase to viewers that they've never seen before?
Well, it's really a snapshot of wildlife at one moment in time all over the globe across 17 time zones. And it's kind of the opposite of, the BBC's Planet Earth 2, which is exquisitely filmed, edited, and dramatically scored. This is much more real, much more live, and basically we're expecting the unexpected. So where we scouted these locations a year ago to see what the animal behavior was under the full moon the same time of year. And so we pretty much know what creatures are expected where, what behavior they're expected to show us, and it's all very, very cool. But you never really know. And so we're trying something. This is a big, big swing by National Geographic to go, top flight, do the entire globe, and show a little bit of magic, real-time magic, to viewers in 172 countries around the world.
Guest 218, by the way, has just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 0419. So thanks for coming aboard on this Monday afternoon. If you have a question or a comment for Al, put it in the room or use our number 646-652-2906. How many different locations around the globe are you going to be at, and when do you determine where you go to which place?
Right. So right now we're at 26 and counting. We've very carefully laid out a show based on what we expect to happen when, and also to make sure that we're carrying interesting beats over the course of the 2 hours. For instance, in the Maasai Mara, we have 12 vehicles scouting every pride of lions. Then we have three vehicles that have cameras mounted on them. Two of those cameras are a new camera from Canon called the ME20, which the testing that we did a few months ago, you can shoot, it looks like full daylight under a full moon. And so wildlife has never been shot this way before. So in the Maasai Mara, we're going to have two of those cameras. We're going to have a defense-grade thermal camera. And we'll know what the all prides are doing. And so we'll surely go there early. We'll be following them as they, hopefully, we expect, will be on the hunt and hope to witness and bring to you live or quick turnaround. A kill, and then the lionesses feeding their cubs. So that's something that we have a pretty good handle on. We're all over the place there. We're underwater off the coast of Fiji, where bull sharks are being fed. They feed them now instead of slaughtering them for their tail fins, with the world-renowned Andy Casagrande, probably the world's most famous underwater cameraman, and so he's talking to us about what's happening, and we have another camera shooting him. So there are places where we know that there's going to be activity, and then there are places where we don't. We're going to be in Finland, where we're waiting for wolverines. We're going to be in the Pantanal, Brazil, where we're waiting for ocelots. So those feeds we'll be monitoring, and when they show up, we'll stop what we're doing, we'll go to them. So we've done the best we can, laying out the best broadcast we can based on what we know, but what we know is it's not going to go as planned.
Yeah, one of the things we definitely know, Al, is that you can't direct Mon-Pa nature and what they do all over the globe. So the fact, though, that you have so many cameras in so many places at least gives you the flexibility that if something doesn't work out here, you can go someplace else pretty quick.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we started with 105 locations. We ended up scouting 1 year ago this week, 34 of those, and then we culled those down to the ones that we're most interested in. We're also taking advantage of some existing IP cams. We're updating, upgrading the bandwidth on them, and for instance, an osprey nest from Cornell. So we'll be showing some of those too, not spending a lot of time on it, but just to help give the scope of wildlife around the globe.
Do you use cameras from GoPro or drones, or how technically advanced is the program?
Right. So these are state-of-the-art broadcast cameras. How technical do you want me to get for your audience? Here, should I get into like resolution and stuff like that?
No, but just general language terms. I'm sure, obviously, it's in high def or ultra high def. But what about, do you use GoPro cameras? Are the cameras like micro size to try to catch particular movements of animals? mentioned earlier that you have like special night filters on some of the cameras so you can see things that you would never have seen before, particularly at in some of the most remote corners of the world.
Right. So we have the ultra light sensitive Canon. These are professional quality 1080p cameras with 51,000 lenses, just the very best technology that exists. Then we have the thermal cameras, which are also, there's only two of them commercially available in the world. Then we have what we call SnapBot. So we are off the coast of Alaska. We're in a plane that has a Cineplex shooting down on humpback whales. Then we have a boat with a camera on it, and then a drone with a live camera on it. That drone flies live over the blowhole of a humpback whale. And when the humpback exhales, the mucus, the snot, is captured on petri dishes on the drone. That drone is brought back. The petri dishes are closed and shipped off to a lab for DNA testing, where we can find, we can learn a tremendous amount about the animal, the health of the animal, its ancestry, male, female, what part of the world it's come from. So it used to be you have to kind of sneak up on these whales and you have to jab them and pull tissue out, and then that tissue was traumatized. That's the way they used to do it. This is a really state of the art technology. And then we have Weaver ants in Australia, and we have super macro lenses that can show an individual ant full frame. And we have an eagle cam that's going to be live on an eagle in Oregon that's going to soar and going to dive. And as it's diving, we get real-time telemetry on how fast it's going, wind direction, altitude, that kind of stuff, which we'll be broadcasting. So we have a lot of really cool state-of-the-art stuff.
Earth Live is one of the most ambitious productions of its kind, and is coming live on Nat Geographic, Nat Geo Mundo, and Nat Geo Wild, all live and simulcast, this Sunday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. That's 5 to 7 Pacific Time. It is live to all time zones. And that's not all. Right after Earth Live, another live program will be happening on Nat Geo, Nat Geo Wild, and that is Safari Live, which usually is on in another time period, but for this special occasion, will be live in prime time. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Nat Geo and Nat Geo Wild of the simulcast. Hal Gehrman is the executive producer of Earth Live. He joins us live from the brand new studio in New York, which will be used Sunday night for the program. And he's with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live on this day before Independence Day 2017. Happy you are aboard, spending some of your Monday before the holiday with us. If you have a question or comment for Hal, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, and then guest 218. In the room. Also on Sunday night, CBS is premiering TV's newest original primetime game show. It's called Candy Crush. Yes, it's based on a mobile game, and it's already a Guinness World Record holder. We'll talk about all that and more with executive producer John Quinn, coming off Celebrity Name Game the last two seasons. John Quinn, executive producer of Candy Crush, premiering this Sunday night on CBS with Barry Lopez as the host. He joins me Friday as our lead guest, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Al, you've got two very formidable hosts that are going to be part of Earth Live, Jane Lynch, Glee, Hollywood Game Night. A lot of people know him from those shows. And you've got Phil Kogan, who's had a lot of experience worldwide with The Amazing Race. How do they get involved in the project?
Right. And we also have a third, a really expert, next to Dave Attenborough. I think the most respected wildlife expert, who's based from the UK, his name is Chris Packham. So Jane, you know, is a wonderful, creative, entertaining, genuine woman who has a real fascination with wildlife, and she's going to be the person who's going to be like you. Take us here. What are we seeing there? Oh my God, this and that. Phil from The Amazing Race, of course, has been everywhere. And so he's going to be our geographical guide to all the places that we're going, and also, you know, give us anecdotes from, you know, for instance, he himself has fed bull sharks off the coast of Fiji. And then Chris is our resident expert who's going to give us all the detail. And one of the features of this broadcast is it's packed with information. It's kind of like the Olympics meets breaking news. We're loaded with graphics. A lot of sports-like graphics, We have a ticker that's constantly feeding information about the wildlife and social media pushes. On the lower part of the screen, we have Inside the Beasts, where we take a look in detail at the jaw of a shark or the eyes of a lion. And we have a really nice complement of really top-tier talent hosting the broadcast here. And then on location, you know, normally you'd be talking to an expert, but we're turning that on its head. We hired the best national wildlife cinematographers, the best people for these individual areas or individual species, and they're going to be our experts. So Sophie Darlington is the world's most preeminent shooter of lion in the Maasai Mara. She knows them by name. She's going to be out there. She's going to be shooting. We have a camera on her. She's going to be describing what she's seeing, the activity that she's seeing, and explaining it that way. It's a very unique way of doing this. So we're not going to be going to remote and seeing somebody standing in front of the camera. We're going to see it and feel it as the cameraman shoots it.
Al, let's take a call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Rick. Happy day before Indy Day to you, and you're on the line with Al Berman. Go ahead.
Hey, Al. You kind of just answered the question I was going to ask, because I'm a cameraman. I was just wondering where on earth you find, like, 85-plus camera people and cinematographers and, like, with the crazy experience that these guys have. I was just wondering how you corral all that.
Right. So that's a great question, Rick. And we don't have 85. We have about 27 cameramen. Many of these locations have multiple cameras. For instance, we're going to be live from the Nautilus with Bob Ballard. So he's going to be 1,000 feet off the off the California coast. And he's got four cameras on board that are all remote controlled and that come in. But the cameramen that we have hired for this basically have come from Bristol. We've partnered up with a wildlife television company, Plimsoll Productions, who are top-notch. And they've worked, you know, they've done the live shows for the BBC and others, and they've worked with all these cameramen. So the push began from there. So we have six who we actually want to be hearing from, and the rest are just expert cameramen, most with live experience, but not all, that are from the natural history sphere.
Well, sounds amazing. I'm definitely checking it out. I'm really happy to hear that you're actually getting cinematographers' points of views in the show as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, these guys know it better than just about anybody, and it feels like a rich and, in some ways, you know, not only different but more meaningful experience. It puts more pressure on the camera ops. They're not used to this kind of thing. But you know, we've talked to them all, and we're convinced that they have wonderful stories to tell.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely going to be checking it out, and best wishes on future success. Love your career, Al. So definitely follow your work. Absolutely. And thank you, Simon. Happy 4th to both of you.
You too, Rick, and everybody down in Philadelphia, the very, very best. We're with our friend from Philadelphia joining us here on Tomorrow We Televise. Al, you, in the last year, or your company, revived Explore, one of the top documentary series of all time, with a live audience in New York. Will there be a live audience watching Earth Live in the studio?
Right. Just to be clear, Explore is a National Geographic. I'm an independent company that's partnered with Dina Murray and Plimsoll to do this. And we've been working on this for 2 years. But to answer your direct question, no, there's not a live audience for this. All the action is in the field. And so, you know, we considered a live audience, but we decided know that we want to be out in the field as much as possible. We'll have some in-studio segments. We'll have a jaw, a bull shark jaw, and we'll explain how it retracts and how the teeth are like on a conveyor belt. And we may have one or two interesting animals. But those are the only creatures other than our hosts who will be there.
Earth Live is National Geographic Television's very special Sunday night presentation, and it kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern at 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all time zones in the United States and around the world, too, on National Geographic, Nacho Mundo and Nacho Wild. And once again, right after this 2-hour presentation, more live animal activity on Safari Live, special edition of that program, which is running for 3 years on Nacho Wild. That will be on Nacho and Nacho Wild at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Al Berman is one of the executive producers on this project, and he joins us live here in New York on Tomorrow He Televises This Half Hour. 86 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. I understand it's going to be less humid tomorrow, which I love because I'll be going out for some very special dance fireworks, Midsummer Night's Swing at Lincoln Center, showcasing the wonderful music of the great Louis Armstrong at Danrich Park in Lincoln Center. If you're in the New York area, catch it. If you love ballroom dancing or swing dancing, check it out. It starts at 6:30 with a dance lesson, and then the band comes on at 7:30, and let's keep our fingers crossed, no rain. If you have a question or comment for Al during this half hour of our program, go to this number, 646-652-2906, or use our Tomorrow Be Televised chat room. Guest 218 is in. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Next Tuesday night, Freeform launches its latest original series. It's called The Bowl Type. And we'll have next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised is executive producer Sarah Watson, who also works at Cosmopolitan Magazine, which the series is based on. And then we'll talk to one of the up-and-coming people in the world of unscripted television. We've had her on the show before, Amber Mazzola. She is the executive producer of The Prophet and other shows on CNBC, and now runs her own production company as CEO, Machete Productions. That's Sarah Watson from The Bowl Type on Freeform, premieres next Tuesday, July 11th, and Amber Mazzola of Machete Productions next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. A&E for this season has done an interesting show every week live called Live PD. It's about police activity all over the country, mostly focused on the South and the Southeast. It's on usually for 3 hours on Friday nights. It's also being presented replayed on Saturdays. And I'm curious whether you looked at that as sort of a prototype about how to approach some of what you do on Earth Live.
Well, the we saw this show before Live PD was put on the air. I actually talked to the folks at A&E for a while about that show. The thing that we really liked and talked about was that you're walking through this place that looks very, very busy, where everything's coming in, people are working hard, and it endorsed our idea of having something similar. We have a room that's called The Matrix, which we've engineered from scratch, which I mentioned earlier, which is a big deal. To bring in all these feeds. So we're going to do some stuff from there, and I would say that probably was the inspiration for it. They're a little bit more rough and tumble. We're a little bit more polished, but that's not a knock against them. I think what they're doing is really terrific, and it's very, very adventurous. From a technical standpoint, they are in cities, all have 3 or 4G networks, so the transmission for them is much more straightforward. And it is for us, where we have to put in, we have a truck with a camera, with a transmitter on a Land Rover in the Mara, and then that has to go by RF to a control room, that has to go by RF to a satellite, that has to go up to a satellite down in Israel, up and back down in New Jersey, and then across from New Jersey to the AMV here, and then into our matrix room, where it has to be routed before it goes into our control room, before it goes to Fox, before Fox puts it up on the air. So our transmission path is stunningly more complicated than anything.
Al, if What Happens Sunday Night works, do you see Earth Live being more than a one-shot special? Could it go on, let's say, a couple times a year, maybe twice a year, maybe as a quarterly program?
I certainly hope so. That'll be up to the executives at National Geographic to make that decision.
Has there been any talk about
that?
The
funny thing is, well, we joke about this all the time because we just pulled together the very best people we could in the live space, in the technical space, in the natural history space, and said, okay, we don't know how to do this. We know there are going to be problems, but let's figure it out. Now that we have it figured out, the next time will be easier.
Mm-hmm. Way back when, in the 1950s and 1960s, there was a show called You Asked For It, where people would call it, people would pose by mail request, and camera crews would be sent out by the producers all over the world to spotlight. And a lot of it was, some of it was live demonstrations of nature happenings. Sometimes it was unusual animal attractions, that kind of thing. The show was revived a number of times in the 70s and the 80s, notably with Rich Little for a year. But the thing is, I'm wondering whether now, you know, National Geographic or another network like it, maybe it's time to put U.S. Sprint back and to focus on, you know, some of the things that will be showcased on Earth Live. So this, although maybe not live, maybe on film or on tape, you know, where the animal world is at.
Well, that's a great question, and we actually have a component of U.S. for it. We're going to offer up cameras for our audience and let them decide which one they want to see. It's so much, you know, it's a different twist on that. And via social media, they're going to let us know, do they want us to be underwater, do they want us to be with the eagle in the air, do they want us to be with the lions or with the wolverines. But that's a very interesting idea. I think, you know, social media has allowed much more flexibility in that way. And technology is becoming less expensive, though, for some of these remote, some of these locations, that's not the case. But in general, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And given, of course, the advances in technology since the 1950s, 60s, 70s, even 80s, it would be probably a more workable show to do. You can go all over the place and become a more immediate show than it could ever have been. Maybe one of these days, let's see Nat Geo try it. Nat Geo brought back Explorer this season. Why not bring back U.S. for it?
Okay. I'll bring it up with the guys over at Nat Geo.
Let me know what they think. I'd love to hear what they say about it. I think it's time. The time is definitely right for a comeback, and the environment technology are there. In the meantime,
I'm making a note with your name attached.
Yes. Anyway, Earth Live, catch it this Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time, simulcast on Nat Geographic, on Nat Geo Wild, and in Spanish on Nat Geo Mundo. And then on Nat Geo Wild, immediately after 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, Safari Live, special edition live from Kenya. Check your local listings for where all three services are available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, natgeotv.com. That's natgeo, natgeotv.com. And once again, Earth Live this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all U.S. time zones, only on Nat Geo, Nat Geo Wild, and in Spanish, on Nat Geo Mundo. Al Berman, executive producer of this very special venture, thank you again for joining us and making the time on this holiday weekend. We really appreciate it. All the best to you and your crew on a sensational event this coming Sunday night, and hopefully the beginning of an ongoing project as well.
Thank you very much, Simon. Really enjoy your show.
Same here. Thank you so much, Al. Take care, and all the greatest to you and everybody for a wonderful 4th of July holiday. Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Al Berman, executive producer of Earth Live, joining us live here in New York. More tomorrow's televised coming up, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you want some really outstanding audio, try this, Atomic Adventures by James Mahaffey. It's an interesting tale about where the atomic age is leading us, and you can find it right now at audibletrial.com/televised. It's one of over 180,000 titles you can choose from of all different genres of programming. In order to take a listen to what Audible.com can be for you, Audibletrial.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information and inspiration, too. Like I said, over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So sign up at Audibletrial.com/televised. It's Audibletrial.com/televised. And for that, you get one free audio book and a 1-month trial of the service and great customer service with Audible being owned by Amazon.com. So take advantage of an opportunity to find out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Remember, Audibletrial.com/televised. Operators are standing by at that website to take your order and get your subscription processed. So give them a go this Independence Day, and give audio a wonderful gift for yourself and for others from this Independence Day forward. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and a little up-segment about what took place at the end of last Friday's episode and what we're doing with that. But first, can we get smart about talking in public and private about smart TV sets and smart devices? I'll make the case after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month. and growing. It's your home for a lot of great original programming this Independence Day, all day tomorrow, 24/7. A lot of great live programming and tape programming as well. One of those programs being Ask About It. Check it out tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 24 hours from now, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Another program you can check out as well is VCR's new excursion into original radio drama, Rewrite. That's Rewrite. Check out 24/7 at blogtalkradio.com. Remember, best feature available with you 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to more Tomorrow We Televise on the day before we celebrate our nation's birthday, 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, where it's 86 very hot degrees here at the top of the hour. Coming up later this half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. And we'll also do a little up segment about what transpired at the end of last Friday's show and how that plays into how we're going to be doing our trivia question this week, especially with our prize, Monty Python FAQ. That's our prize this week as well, and we'll tell you about the question a little later on in this half hour. But right now, an extended comment. We're kicking off the second half of 2017 today, and I'm pretty clear about one big thing. And the one big thing is this. We are not only in the era of plentiful TV. I don't use peak TV. I like plentiful TV, whether scripted or unscripted. But we are for sure in the era of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. There's no doubt now that the American public is embracing these products and embracing them maybe at a speed that's been unheard of. Check this out. According to Nielsen, the Interactive Ad Bureau, ComScore, and other research agencies, at least 60% of all U.S. households, 60% of all U.S. homes have either a smart television set made by Samsung, LG, Vizio, Sharp, Panasonic, etc., and or a smart TV device, Roku, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Shield from NVIDIA, Amazon Fire TV from Amazon, etc. And according to Nielsen, the usage rate is growing. It's accelerating far beyond, I think, what a lot of people believe. And this is as of this winter. People are using these smart TV sets and devices 19 to 20 days out of every month and 2 to 3 hours a day. And the anecdotes and the feedback from these folks will tell you that this is how they're watching Netflix and Hulu, and Amazon, and Crackle. And this is how increasingly they are using apps, apps like the 10,000 or so now on Apple TV, apps from the other sets and device makers that do everything from allowing you to play advanced video games to reading e-books on the TV set to using interactive children's programming to ordering pizza from Papa John's and services from Airbnb and Zillow and Home Advisor, and entertainment tickets from StubHub. And on some of these devices, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you can order any Amazon merchandise you want. Any. And something else to keep in mind, too, that more and more of these devices are now being able to accommodate the growing number of people that use voice control devices, artificial intelligence devices. I'm talking from Apple and Alexa from Amazon and Echo, etc. And more of these voice devices that are doing so much to change the way people use television and watch television are now being built into television sets and built into these smart TV devices. And then keep in mind that ultimately, this may be the way that augmented reality and virtual reality services happen. Not by the headgear, or not just by headgear, or by mobile products, but through the television set. Now, you would think that 60% of all U.S. homes using these products would make some headlines somewhere, on your local newscast, on national newscasts. Works from CNN to CNBC to Bloomberg to Fox Business Network. They would make major headlines in places like TechCrunch, CNNnews.com, Recode, regularly on websites like that. They're not. Can we talk about that? Can we get smart about this? We're not saying 10% or 15%. We are talking 60% of U.S. households are using these devices and accelerating their usage. It may be the biggest embrace of technology projects we have seen in a long while. You could make the case that we are talking about the biggest development in technology, in media, in television, in consumer electronics this decade, maybe this century. And we don't know where it's going. And we're not talking about it. We are not discussing this. You're not seeing stories in your local paper or in USA Today or the Wall Street Journal or business news networks or regular news networks. And you're not seeing in the tech press. And that is a problem, folks. And I don't chalk it up to laziness. There's more to it than just reporters who are not getting it. There's two other factors here that we need to address. Factor number one, TV and consumer electronic conferences are not devoting the time and the people and the panels to this subject. Next week, CE Week will begin its 10th anniversary event here in New York. And for the fourth year in a row, at this moment, there is not one panel devoted to smart sets and smart devices. And so you have to hope that with some of the other panels they have there, like connected devices, someone will bring the topic up, or yours truly will bring the topic up. And it's amazing to me that 4 or 5 years ago, they did have a panel on smart TVs. In fact, when CE Week was in its early infancy, under the Consumer Electronics, or now Consumer Technology Association, CEA, that they had a whole day talking about smart TV sets and smart devices, or a half day. And they can't devote one panel over 2 days next week to it. And by the way, I've seen the exhibitor list. It's pathetic. Not one major set maker is exhibiting there on that exhibit floor. Not one. Roku, Amazon Fire, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Shield, not there. How can you have a conference like this and not have their participation? And that brings up another reason, another factor why you're not hearing a lot and on the headlines about this whole smart TV set phenomenon and device phenomenon. The set and device makers themselves are not talking it up. Where is Samsung? Where is Vizio? Where is LG? Where is Apple? Where is Roku? Why aren't they in public? Why aren't they exhibiting? Why are they keeping silent? Oh, this is something that should be blown over. This is something that should be, relegated to a bear's hibernation. One example, and it's an amazing example, was a month ago with Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. A great opportunity for Apple to showcase where it's at with Apple TV. Think about this. 2 years ago, Tim Cook, the head of Apple TV, declares, out of the blue, the future of TV is app, and he shows the new version of Apple TV, and he shows what you can do with Zillow, and buy merchandise from Gilt Group, and Airbnb, etc. And here we are nearly 2 years later at a conference attended by thousands of app developers. And Tim Cook gets on that stage, and we were on the air, by the way, right after that event, and we had, as a guest, an Apple developer, an app developer, doing an app for smart TV sets and devices. And Tim Cook spends less than 90 seconds, talking about Apple TV. And all he basically said was, Amazon Prime is going to come on Apple TV later this year, and we'll have more to say about Apple TV later this year. That's basically said. And the irony is that right behind them was a slide saying the future of TV. Well, doesn't it make sense that if you're the head of Apple, you spend more than 90 seconds talking about the future of TV that 10,000 apps are now on? And as wild and crazy and unbelievable as that situation was, not one reporter except yours truly and my guest at the time brought up any challenge to what Cook did, any response, nothing in Recode, nothing in news.com, nothing in Gadget or TechCrunch, nothing. Nothing about Apple TV, nothing about, hey, why did Cliff do this? Maybe somebody should have said something? Nah. Unbelievable. And by the way, just a few weeks before, Google's annual I.O. developer conference, guess what? Nothing was said about Chromecast at their keynote address. Nothing. And again, thousands of developers are there. You have a captive audience to rally their troops and to say, here's what we're doing with Chromecast. Nothing. Well, I'm here to declare today that starting today, I'm making this declaration. The era of not discussing smart TV sets and devices in public stops. It is time for all of us in and around this world of television, whether you're a journalist, whether you are an organizer of a conference, whether you're the organizer of an event like CE Week or International CES, whether you are a smart TV set maker, device maker, an app developer, it's time to stop playing silent. It is time to stop acting like this was, as was mentioned years ago, a hobby. It's time to start stop marginalizing what smart TV sets and smart TV devices are doing. Not when 60% or more of the American public with the household are using these devices and sets. It's time for them to know what they have bought. And it's time for us to know how they're using these devices. And it's time for us to learn where this future is going. It may end up going a lot faster than we think, especially when you combine another very interesting tech product, ATSC 3.0, the Advanced Television Services Committee device, the protocol for new technical standards now underway through the Federal Communications Commission. The TV station folks know what's at stake here, Sinclair, Nexstar, and others, because they are very high on what this can be done. And by the way, one of the things that could happen is that your local television station could send material right down to your smart television set and could offer a lot of interesting capabilities on their own. It's time, folks, that we get smart about being public, extensively in public, about these sets and devices and what they could ultimately do. Because remember, these devices are upgradable like that, electronically. So apps, new features, can go on a blink of a second. And we've got to know what's going on here. And yes, there's a lot of interesting concerns that may pop up when you use artificial intelligence. And there's some things about privacy to get into as well. So it's time to stop not covering this subject. And it's time to start covering it any which way possible. At CE Week next week, I promise you, I'm going to have a lot of conversations with the organizers and with anybody I can to make sure that something gets said about smart TV sets and devices in public, where we all hear it. And I'm going to do whatever I can to encourage TV conference people that I know and the Consumer Technology Association and anyone else that it's time to go public. It is time to cover this event. And it's time that television networks like CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox Business Network that do technology-oriented shows have somebody on a regular basis covering smart TVs and smart devices and to do regular reports. And that goes for USA Today, and that goes for the national broadcast networks, and that goes for CNN, MSNBC, Fox at large. We all have to be involved here. It's time for a full court press on this subject. And I promise you that we will, from this point forward, do our part as well. And I'm happy to say that coming up on July 14th, we will have the producers of Planet of the Apps, Apple's first television series, which deals with smartphone apps that could become Apple TV apps, that Ben Silverman and Howard Owens, head of Propagate, the co-founders of that production company that is doing Planet of the Apps, which incidentally was introduced sort of as an afterthought the second day of Apple TV's Worldwide Developer Conference, that we will have them on the air July 14th. I'm very excited about that. And they're going to try, by the way, to get Eddie Q or Tim Cook, somebody from Apple TV on this program before the end of the year. This is an incredible phenomenon, folks, that we are dealing with. And it's time to approach the subject in public in an equally incredible way. I'd love to hear what you think about this. So we've got our chat room. Love to hear from you. You want to put your thought in the chat room? Go right ahead. Simon Apple 04 by name. It's in our homepage blog, agree.com/tellers. Give us a call in the next few minutes at 646-652-2906. Before we wrap things up for today, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. And once again, for the second week in a row, we are offering Monty Python FAQ, whose office ran this program this past Friday. It's the wonderful book about Monty Python Flying Circus, Chris Bersani, Brian Cogan, Jeff Massey, the co-authors of this, all based in Brooklyn, published by Applause Books. And here's our question this week. One of the top stars of television for its first few decades was Brian Keith. Did a lot of television shows where he starred or co-starred, shows like Family Affair, The Brian Keith Show, and one of my favorite westerns, this is the one that Sam Peckinpah created, didn't last long, The Westerner. If you get a chance to see it on YouTube, it's one of the best TV series of its kind ever. And Keith's performance as Dave Blatzengame was marvelous. Here's our classic trivia question. Name Brian Keith's first television series back in 1955. Name Brian Keith's first television series back in 1955. I'll give you a hint. He played a newspaper reporter named Matt on the program. Brian Keith's first television series in 1955, and we won the exact title. All you have to do is email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win Monty Python FAQ by Applause Books and Cinema. And if you just missed the question, we will post it tomorrow morning, yes, on Independence Day, at my Facebook page, and also at my Twitter handle, at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. We'll post it every day, all week long. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, and if you're first, you can win Monty Python FAQ. Now a quick up, where we go back to some of the guests and topics. In this case, unusual occurrences that have taken place in this program. And last Friday, as I mentioned, we had the authors of Monty Python FAQ on this program, and we wanted to have them give the answer to the classic trivia question. Now, as you know, in order to be in the question, you have to email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Well, Rick, we have our friend from Philadelphia, who you heard in the first half of our show, talking to our guest, Al Berman, from Earth Live, called up and said he had the answer. Now, I was a little flubbered by this because that's the first time that anybody has proposed to give us the answer to the classic trivia question and do it on the air. As I mentioned, in order to make it a question that lasts the entire week and to give as many people as possible a chance to win, we do it by email. But I certainly didn't want to, you know, go into a whole rigmarole about, oh, Rick, you can't give us the answer because you didn't email the answer, et cetera. Well, he gave the answer, and it was the correct answer. It was the John Philip Sousa Marx Liberty Bell. The question was, name Monty Python theme song, and it was the Liberty Bell by John Philip Sousa. So he got the answer. And so what we're going to do is this. We are going to send him a copy of Monty Python FAQ. So he's going to get a copy, and we're again going to, for everyone's benefit, we're offering another copy again as our prize this week. So I just want you to know, Rick, if you're still hearing us, yes, you're getting a copy. I'm going to mail it on Wednesday and after the holiday weekend, and hope you'll get it before, if not the end of the week, sometime over the weekend or next week. And as I mentioned, we are going to offer a second Monty Python FAQ book as our prize this week. And in the future, I want to make it very clear, in order to win a prize, you must email the answer, okay? So, and thank you, Rick, again for providing the answer on Friday. We really appreciate it. And from now on, use email, and make sure that you email before our Friday afternoon program at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. That's the cutoff point, okay? Great. Happy to clear things up. And that's our program for today, this day before Indie Day 2017. Coming up Friday on the Wabi Televised, we'll focus on another interesting program that is premiering this Sunday night. It's Candy Crush. It's the new primetime game show, one of the first major primetime games to come along in quite a while. It's going to be running on CBS, hosted by Mario Lopez of Extra and Saved by the Bell and all sorts of other things fame. And we'll have executive producer John Quinn on the program. And then coming up next Monday, we'll have Sarah Watson. She's one of the executive producers of the new freeform drama, The Bold Type, inspired by Cosmopolitan Magazine. And back with us for the second time, the head of Machete Productions and the executive producer, among other things, The Prophet on CNBC, Amber Mazzola. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, including all our episodes from so far this year, go to our homepage anytime the rest of the day and certainly over tomorrow's holiday. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can always check out the podcast version of our program. It's available 24/7 at iTunes.com and on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We are one of a number of select Blog Talk Radio shows that have that honor of being on Apple TV. And again, that's available 24/7. Remember, if you go on podcast through iTunes, you can download it to your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go wherever you're going this holiday, or share with friends and others you love. We really appreciate it. By the way, big thank you to everybody who caught our programs last month. We had a great lineup of guests. I'm happy to say we had our second best replay fortune of the year so far, over 6,500 replays in June. So thank you for that. We're off to a good start already this month. We really appreciate it. So take the time this holiday to check up on recent episodes, catch up on what you missed. Blogtalkradio.com/televised, also iTunes.com, and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. By the way, if you don't have Apple TV, you always go to an Apple TV store near you or order it online. We love hearing from you. I'm curious what you have to say about Earth Live and what's your thoughts about smart TV sets and devices. Do you think, as I do, that there really will be more coverage of both of these products than there is right now? Well, love to hear. Or do you have a different point of view? I'm all ears for that, too. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. That's how you get involved in our classic interview question of the week. We also do a regular feature here called The Show to Know. Is there a program that you think deserves attention and doesn't get it? Well, if you let me know and we tell our audience, you, of course, will get the credit. And again, that's SimonApple04@yahoo.com, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, you can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. By the way, you can usually catch me on Monday afternoons here in the New York area on BK Live. It's the daily program all about Brooklyn and beyond, available locally on Brick TV, and you can find that throughout New York City on Verizon Fios, throughout Brooklyn, Manhattan on Charter Spectrum, and throughout Brooklyn on Altice USA and RCN. Plus, we also have the Tomorrow Televised segments available at YouTube, at youtube.com/BrickTV. The segments are posted usually a day or two after the live presentation between noon and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So once again, that's youtube.com/BrickTV. Incidentally, one of our recent episodes where we had the producer of the documentary on HBO dealing with opioids, Warning This Drug May Kill You, has turned out to be our biggest Tomorrow Be Televised segment ever with over 2,700 replays, and we're still getting them 2 months later. So thank you for the great reaction to that. And by the way, I hope before the end of this month to make an announcement about something special that we are launching. So stay tuned for that announcement. And, of course, coming up first Monday in August, we mark 10 years as the program All About Television, and we start our second decade. Stay tuned for an announcement about our guest that day, first Monday of August, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, we love hearing from you, so please take the time to let us know what you think. Why? Because what you say matters. We've said it all along, and we keep saying it because it's true. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Soderberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Will Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a 30-day trial and free audiobook, just go to this URL and sign in, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening, everyone, and on behalf of everyone with Blog Talk Radio as well, have a fantastic 4th of July tomorrow, and please take the time to really reflect on where our country has gone over these last 240 years and change, and where we're headed. And remember, part of that is your responsibility, too. Have a fantastic time wherever you're going, and for those of you in the New York area, one more time, Midsummer Night's Wing at Lincoln Center starts at 6:30 tomorrow night, Dam Rush Park at Lincoln Center, with the wonderful music of the great Louis Armstrong. Check it out. And if you don't dance, come on in, hear the music. It's going to be incredible. Whatever you are doing on this July 4th, please make it be great and make it be safe. And we will be back with you Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with John Quinn of CBS New Game Show, Candy Crush. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.